In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Tell the truth, or at least don't lie. And the reason for that is that that's a very good starting position to straighten out your life. It's really helpful to be careful about what you say and to not say things that you know are false. I mean, it's not a straightforward thing to do, and that doesn't mean you get to tell the truth to as a weapon. That's not the truth. That's a partial truth masquerading as truth to use as a weapon. I mean, you have to be sophisticated about it. But it's very useful to discipline yourself not to use your language in a manipulative manner. It doesn't work. It's a very, very bad medium to long-term strategy. And your life will become much simpler in a good way, much less anxiety-provoking, and much more exciting and adventurous if you just say what you think. Or even more importantly, don't say things you know to be untrue. One suggestion I have for people is that they listen to what they say and feel how it makes them feel physically. And what you'll see if you start to pay attention is that some things you say make you feel like you're standing on firm ground, and other things that you say disconnect you and produce a feeling of disunity and weakness. And you might think, well, that's worth it because I'm manipulating the world in some particular way to get what I want and it'll probably work. It's like, it's not worth it. It won't work. It will kick back and you will be punished for it. So one of the things that I've learned as a clinical psychologist, which is actually quite a terrifying thing to learn, is that it's terrifying when I think of my own life. I've never seen anyone get away with anything, ever. Everything you do that you know to be wrong will absolutely come back and haunt you, and usually in a magnified way. And so it's very useful to know that and to be terrified enough of that so that you become careful with what you say. So telling the truth, that presupposes you know the truth. You can strive towards the truth. I don't think you can know it, but you can certainly know when you're about to say something that's patently untrue by your own definition, and you can certainly not do that. So, and that's an excellent place to start. It will, if you do that for a number of years, your life will change radically and positively. Classically speaking, the two highest virtues are truth and love, and it's difficult to put one of those ahead of the other. Love means something like hoping and striving for the best for things, despite the fact that they're inadequate and damaged and perverse and often malevolent. And that's part of, say, love your enemies. Is, well, what do you want for your enemies? Well, you might say you want their defeat. Maybe you want their violent, painful defeat. But it's better to want their transformation. It's better in all regards to want that and to hope for that and to act towards them in a manner that might facilitate that. So, and that's part of that courageous attitude towards existence that would manifest itself in positive regard for living things. And it's hard to talk about those things, especially love, because the word has been weakened by misuse, which is why I offered the definition I offered. It's like, it's an attitude of courage to want the best for life, because life is very cruel and harsh, and it's easy to become turned against it and bitter. And there are reasons for that, but it's not helpful. It's wrong, despite the fact that there are reasons for it. Bitterness is of no utility. So even though, you know, I've met many people who've had very, very hard lives, and to see them become bitter is not a surprise. but there's no utility whatsoever in it. All it does is make it worse. So grin and bear it, so to speak. And that's part of aiming upward. And it is an attitude of courage, a voluntary attitude of courage. And truth serves that goal best. So how could it be otherwise? You know, you can think about, you have an option. You can either have reality on your side or against you. If you abide by the truth, then you have reality on your side. You have reality against you. It's like you think you're going to come out ahead in that dispute? That's...
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Well, you only think that if you've developed a certain amount of arrogance, which is also another very dangerous thing. I can get away with it. It's like, no, you can't. You are so outmatched by reality that there's no contest. I think the only real natural resource, apart from air, is honesty. It's the basis for wealth. Because if two people treat each other honestly, they can take each other at their word and then they can cooperate. Otherwise, you know, like if I can't trust you, God only knows what you're up to. You're so complicated that we can't do something simple and straightforward and directed together, because we're going to spend all of our time trying to figure out what in the world is going on. And this is partly why so much poverty in the world is actually generated by corruption rather than an absolute lack of material. An absolute lack of material. Corruption is a force that produces poverty like nothing else. So honesty, integrity, and then all the things that you can be gifted with, intelligence, hard work. It takes a lot of rare traits, generally speaking, to push you in the direction of success. It also depends on what you mean by success. So we could do this two ways. We could go after classical success. Yeah, well, I mean, often you need a set of gifts, right, that are given to you at birth to be spectacularly successful at something, say, like sports. Then discipline, that's extraordinarily useful. Intelligence, that's very useful. The marriage of those two. I mean, if you have two people who are equally intelligent and one works twice as hard as the other, then the one who works twice as hard is much more likely to be successful. Yeah. Creativity is another useful attribute. Reciprocity, the ability to reciprocate, that's unbelievably useful. Almost all the people I know who are successful have very broad, well-functioning social networks. So even if they don't know how to do something, they know someone who knows how to do it. And they've maintained their relationships with those people, and they've done it with integrity. So they're trusted. So they have a network of trusted people around them who are highly competent. And so there's an ethical aspect to that, because you don't gather a group of highly useful people around you to trade with unless they trust you. And so honesty is a huge part of it. And I mean, I've seen people go into companies that were failing very dramatically. Competent people go in, and with nothing other than their competence and their honesty, turn the companies around completely. And that's very interesting to watch. And I've consulted in situations where that's been the case. Decide what better means for you. So you have to have a discussion with yourself, as if you were someone you cared about. So now we decide you're taking care of yourself. 3 years down the road, you get to have what you want, but you have to figure out what it is. Okay, so do you want an intimate relationship? And if so, what kind of relationship? How are you going to structure it? What about your family? How are you going to get along with your siblings and your parents? Are you going to have kids? Is that going to be part of your life? What are you going to do for your career or your job? How are you going to educate yourself and keep your education updated? How are you going to resist the sort of temptations that take people down? How are you going to take care of yourself mentally and physically? What are you going to do with your time outside of work that's productive and engaging? Imagine you could optimize all that. OK, Okay, so then you need a vision. Okay, what would my life be like if I had that? And what would it look like? Well, then you have to make the right sacrifices to get there. You need to make a strategy. And so you lay out that strategy and then start to pursue it and progress incrementally, right? Little better tomorrow than you were yesterday. And compare yourself to yourself, which is rule 4 in my book. That'll work. You'll be in way better shape very, very rapidly. So, but you can't just wait around for happiness to appear. I mean, unless you define it and pursue it. I mean, things don't happen. Good things tend not to happen randomly, right? Things fall apart randomly. So you need a vision. You need a plan for the future. And, you know, you don't want to make it rigid and tyrannical. And you have to do it in negotiation with yourself. But it's unbelievably effective.